Raised Rowdy.
Hello and welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nicky T.
I'm Kurt Ozon. We're just rolling in it, aren't we?
Yeah, let's do it. If he only has an hour and a half, you know?
Oh, shit.
We thank you for being here in this beautiful storm. We got in right before the rain.
So. I know. We're all good in here now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Mr. Yeah. Dylan Snyder on the podcast. Thanks, bro.
Thanks for having me, man. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. So, what you been doing, man? I know you've been busy as heck.
So much, bro. Touring. Yeah. Like, with tons of people this year. It's been fun. We've been out with, started the year with Nate Smith.
Yeah.
We went out with Kane Brown for a few shows for his tour. Luke Bryan. And then we just started the one with Mitchell that we're doing right now through the fall. And then next week, my headlining one starts. So, Sick. Yeah, it's a lot. And then we got my album coming out this week.
Dropping.
Yeah, it's
it'll be
it's
out crazy. By the time this pod comes out.
So. Mm-hmm. Congrats on the release.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank
yeah.
you.
It's crazy. We just had Mitchell in here, too, so we were talking about that tour.
Six
yeah.
degrees and of separation kind of a vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Megan on before
yeah,
that.
Megan,
so they all,
yeah,
Megan.
So
yeah, attached.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Who's opening for you on your headline tour?
Marin Taylor is her name.
Well, then we'll have her on the podcast then. Just keep it going.
There you go.
Any rooms that you're hitting up that you've hit up before and are excited about?
Yeah, I'm going to – so I'm from Indiana, so like – I'm like an hour west of Indianapolis, and I've played the Deluxe up there at the old National Center a few times. So
hell
to get
yeah.
back there is going to be great. The hometown show, you know, feels always awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new places that we're going to. Playing the Troubadour for the first time out in L.A., which
sick.
Is going to be pretty sick.
That's going to be super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard, like, great things about it. So I'm really excited about that. And, yeah, there's like 24, 25 dates altogether. Couple of headlining shows in Canada. We went there for the first time touring at the start of the year with Nate. So the first time doing a headlining show up there will be pretty fun, too.
That's sick.
Yeah, a lot of firsts.
Yeah. I was just in Canada for the first time in, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We did, like, a songwriter's retreat and played, like, a couple shows. Well, I didn't play a shows, but Kurt
yeah.
did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you ran us beers. That was important.
Honestly, hey. I'll take that job.
Gotta have the beer runner.
Yeah.
For sure.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N-B-R-U-N.
Yeah. We had to talk the venue into, like, giving us enough beers for the crew. I'm like, listen, it'll just take care of itself.
Yeah,
like, if you need me to put my credit card down, I will. We got to feed the staff with beer.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But it was really fun. Dude, Canada's cool too. There's a bigger country crowd than you'd even like imagine.
I know. Yeah. I was really surprised about that. Even like we did after we went to Canada the first time, we went over to Europe. Like we hit London, we hit Germany for the first time in Berlin. Rotterdam, we went through Amsterdam, hung out there for a little bit, and just seeing the presence even over there is crazy, you know. So
nuts.
We've got to kind of do like a little like world tour so far this year, which has been cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Who were you over there with?
It was the C2C country festival, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody was over there.
Everybody, yeah.
But it was cool. I hadn't been to London since like 2018, I think, that summer, so it'd been a few years. And it was fun getting to experience that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was the catering for you
over there?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so weird. I don't know. It's always interesting trying to find, you know, something you like. Or,
yeah.
Because it's also different, you know, the
of
culture
course.
And everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It was all right.
I thought it was great. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the dudes, like the more country guys on our tour, were like, sometimes we go and, like, get Macca's or, like, McDonald's or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, they wanted that comfort food, you know?
I feel
something
that.
They're used to.
Oh, dude, we were gone for so long, too. I mean, yeah, I was definitely trying to hunt some of that down. I needed a little taste of home, for sure.
Yeah. I haven't been overseas. I've only been to Canada, and they had a lot of potatoes there.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you gotta go, man. It's like, I feel so blessed, man, because I know you probably feel the same way. It's like, if I was just working a regular job, like, if I was still teaching music instead of playing music, it's like, I would never have gone to Australia as many times as I have, or,
yeah.
like, or Europe, or you know, like being going to Germany or Canada or wherever.
Yeah.
So it's like getting to go over there and like drink the coffee and like hang and eat all the different food is just like
yeah.
such a
it's an
beautiful
man.
Side, you know, benefit of being a musician. Not 100%,
especially if you get free time, you know, while you're touring. And we did have a few off days over there, which is cool, just to explore and stuff. It's awesome.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
How do those C2Cs work? Are they just booked kind of like a regular tour, like through your booking agent
yeah.
and stuff?
It's like a
so.
Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like a big festival.
Yeah. And they have it everywhere over there. I know they were doing some in like Ireland and we never got over there. Scotland, I think they did some shows.
Yeah. I've done it a few times. And like the first year we did it, it was like, I forget who else was on tour. It was like, I was playing with Luke Combs, then Kit Moore, and then Casey was the headliner. And so we just played, and there was another group, I forget who it was. And we just, the four of us would go play, like in London, and then we'd play in Glasgow, and then we'd play in Dublin, and then, or Belfast, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's like you play the same show, so it feels like a little mini tour.
It does. It's cool. It's cool. And like, I hung out a lot, like one of my buddies, Red Farron.
Mm-hmm.
We started out together like a few years ago, writing on like the Tree Vibes bus. FGL, and mm-hmm. We hadn't got to hang out that much. We were kind of in every little city together and had some off days and like went around and got to chill. It was fun. Yeah, because just getting to see people you don't normally see either. Everybody's just in one place at one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about like the fans over there compared to in the U.S.? Like, is it similar?
Oh, shoot. I literally was having this conversation. I can't remember who I was talking to about it, but it was recently. And I described it as like, I don't know. I mean, the fans here are obviously amazing, but also I think that they're a little spoiled sometimes. A lot of people overseas are like very grateful that you're even there at all, and they're very attentive to your show. Like, it's not as rowdy as it would get here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they like appreciate the fact that, you know, people are traveling to play for them and they want to hear the music. Even if they don't know who you are, there's a lot of people just excited to like listen and learn and like want to become fans. That's pretty cool. I think that we're just a little spoiled over here. We got it too good.
Yeah.
You know,
especially Nashville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I know everybody's like jaded, you know, sometimes to it all, but it's cool. And to see just people being really appreciative and excited, it's humbling.
Yeah, that's
because we can go see the Time Jumpers like every Monday night if we wanted to, but over there it's like there's nothing like that ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's well said, man. I felt that too. And they're also like, it seems like they're more attentive, like lyrically.
Yes.
Like getting,
they're
like,
listening to it.
Like when we played overseas and we had Ashley McBride with us, it was like, they're just, everything that she said, you could just feel the crowd like react to the lyrics.
Yeah.
When she like, you know, it's like in a girl, you know, going nowhere. It's like when, mm-hmm. and then the band comes in, it's like, everyone's like, oh shit, like they kind of like, yeah. They're like, maybe they've never heard that song before, or maybe they have, but it's like they're so tuned into it.
Yeah, it's really cool. They want to hear the stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. I mean, that's why you write the songs, man.
100%.
You know, to share your stories. So the fact that they're listening, I feel like some people, you know, it can just go right over their head. I'm like, did you even hear what that lyric just said? Did that not like hit you some certain way, you know? And
yeah,
it's cool to see people kind of go for the ride of the story you're telling.
Yeah. And you've had a lot of success with songs, I mean, as a writer and, mm-hmm. you know, as an artist, too.
Yeah.
But why don't we talk a little bit about the new record?
For sure, man.
Yeah.
This is my debut record, you mm-hmm. know, so it's pretty awesome. After, like, 8 years of being in town and writing
yep.
and putting out a handful of EPs, singles, you know, everything, I'm glad that I waited as long as I did and it wasn't rushed and it didn't come out sooner, because the impact of it, I feel like, is a lot more important than being like, oh, I'm three albums in, you know, to an 8-year career at this point, and it wouldn't be, you know, as big. This is a big deal, and I think that it's the best collection of songs that I've written in my whole career. It's the most music I put out at one time, and I feel like people would, you know, have been eager to have that. So, you know, 16 songs and just cool stories, a lot of, I guess, vulnerability in some of the songs that I never really shared about myself personally. And there's a lot more, like, realness of the stories that I tell throughout, just, you know, from growing up and like kind of having more life experiences than a lot of the music I've shared before too, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
I feel like you were a lot younger when you kind of got started than a lot of people too.
Yeah,
just because like I feel like I kind of remember when you came on the scene, it seems like I moved here in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you were kind of shortly after me, I feel.
Yeah,
like
2016.
Yeah, and so it's like, I'm sure you've done a lot of growing up since then too.
Yeah.
Musically and as a person.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just like through my craft, yeah, as like my personality, even my understanding of the industry, you know, as a whole as well. It's all kind of evolved over that time, and I think that this record kind of really shows a lot of that for sure.
Cool. And you've gotten to do like a lot of, even like going back, you've done a lot of sick tours that you've been on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm sure, like listening to this record, it's like there's like a lot of tempo and a lot of fun stuff. It's like a lot of stuff that would fit right into like a live show, I'm
oh,
sure.
Oh yeah. I think that's like something too, like of all the people that I've gotten to tour with and be around, something I've been noticing this year is I've been with a really good batch of people, especially like Nate, especially like Kane, even right now seeing this tour with Mitchell from the first weekend. Sonically, like our sets and our music like really complement each other, and the fans, like, there's no like disconnect, I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they're excited, they're enjoying what I play before Mitchell comes out, because it's just so like kind of in that same lane.
Yeah,
which is great. And I feel like it helps people build their fan bases, if you know, especially on an opening slot for tours like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like your music fits in well, like, with Nate's and Kane's too.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd like, love to see Kane live.
Like, we sell a lot of merch out there with like those guys. We make a lot of new fans, and you can just see the numbers and the attentiveness and the reaction of the people. And that's what's great about that batch of guys that I've got to play with this year. Even, I mean, the Luke Bryan shows were awesome too. But yeah. I mean, if you're playing with Luke Bryan, everybody's excited anyway. You know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's such an entertainer too, man.
Yep.
Like, that's what, when I talk about Luke, I just talk about, I mean, from my early days before I was in Nashville, just seeing him in the pit and just watching the fans go wild.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was so crazy. I've seen him 3 times up in Indianapolis at the amphitheater up there, and I finally got to play that stage for the first time. So it was like, damn, this is like a full circle, check off the bucket list moment. So
yeah.
that was super special.
That's amazing.
Did you find that there's one of those tours that moved like the needle for your career the most?
I'd say, let me think for a sec. Probably over the past few years, one of the biggest ones I've ever done, I got to go out with FGO a few summers ago, and that was like a really big time in my career, especially like, granted, it was right before like the pandemic and everything happened, but it was huge in like a movement of like kind of me getting in everybody's like eyes again and like being noticed and talked about. And then like kind of out of the tail end of pandemic and stuff, I still kind of had that steam, I felt like, and I felt good, and people had been talking about, you know, what I was doing previously before that, so we kind of jumped right back in, and I feel like that was a big look for sure. And like, I was really thankful they didn't even have to bring me out, but we did an EP. They signed a deal with my previous record deal. My record company was like Interscope out in LA, and they got involved with them, and you know, that was a huge, you know, bone that they threw bringing me out and having me play that new music and stuff. So that was really cool.
Those shows, man, too. We would from Pittsburgh every year, we would have a bus, like a school bus that we would take to the FGO shows year. Just the biggest party, and everybody knows all the songs, whether you knew them or not, you know, that kind of thing. So like, we could bring fans that weren't necessarily country music fans and show them that experience, and they'd be like, oh, I love this.
Yeah, I'm into this. I always talk about them, and especially like that era of like 2010 to 2015, Sam Hunt included, all that. Yeah. They were kind of a huge, you know, player in turning, you know, the style to where it is today almost. Like, just, you don't have to be right down the middle country. You can do a little bit of something different. And now it's all over the place, you know, which is cool. And I like that. I mean, I just feel like people should create and do whatever they want to do and make the music they want to make. And I just hope it's good at the end of the day. But either way, you know, I just think they were huge, you know, in the influence of where, you know, country music started to change.
Agree.
The Nick would say that the lane is wider now, and there's room for more folks.
Definitely.
You know?
Yes, it's all over the place.
And you could find your own people.
Yeah, exactly. Fans. I think that's cool, man. And I just think that it's huge for the genre in general, is just to, like, be more inclusive and, like, you get a lot more people that otherwise wouldn't. Like what you just said with FGL, you get people that wouldn't maybe like country music, but they like it.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's so free with their creativity nowadays, I feel like.
So in terms of the record and the sound, who did you work with on production for the record?
It was Zach Aubin, and then Lalo Guzman also produced a couple of the tracks that we put out like really, really early, like Bad Decisions and Ain't Missing You. And then we had a couple other ones that we did, but they're not on the record. They might come out down the road. I don't know. But working with Zach has been like so like easy and like, I don't know, it was like just like no stress, you know what I mean? Like everything was just smooth. The whole process of him understanding kind of the sound of what I wanted to do, and he just got it, you know. And it was just so fun to like work with somebody like that, where it's like, damn, like we're creating something cool, and it feels like it's right off the bat. You don't have to try, you know. So that's the whole thing was just like super cohesive and cool, and I'm definitely gonna be working with him, you know, for a while.
That's cool
for sure.
How did you guys meet?
Oh, dude, I met him when I was like 16 years old, right after I came to town. just through mutual friends and people that I was working with early on, just introducing me. And I remember we went out one time on Broadway and just kind of hit it off. And then I cut one of his songs on the first EP that I put out. It was called Bait. Him and Luke Preston had wrote it. So I started writing with them a little bit back then.
Sick.
And we were just always super cool and like good friends, you know, got along well. We hadn't really worked on much. He produced another song off my second EP called How Bad Can One Kiss Hurt? And that was like the only one he did on that, I think. But because Mark Holman at the time was producing me back then, and I don't think Holman had time to get that last one. So Zach came in, and then now he's back, you know, here doing the whole record, cool. Which is awesome.
Full circle, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of nice steel playing on the record, too. I got to say, as a steel player, I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure, man. I mean, they killed it, dude. Everybody that was on there, so talented. And
Justin Chipper, I believe, is the steel player, mm-hmm. at least on with the songs I looked up with the credits on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. All those guys are so great.
Yeah.
Dude, it was insane. It was so fun getting to go in there and see them put, like, you know, their flair on all the demos. And even, like Puzzled, the last song I wrote for the album. And we went in, like, literally the day before we went in to cut the last six songs, I wrote it that night. And I had the idea for the album and everything. We're like, oh, we got to try to get this done. I was like, the song's not even written. So I just sat down in my house, and I wanted Hardy to help me out writing it, because I saw him at Stagecoach this year, and Zach actually writes for Hardy over at Relative, his publishing company. So we had talked about us three getting in, and I was like, I kind of texted him about the idea a couple days before that, and he hadn't gotten back to me, and I was like, shoot, it's crunch time. I guess I'm just going to have to run it by myself, because mm-hmm. Hardy was like, yeah, dude, I want to get a couple on your record if we can find some time, and you know, both just so busy. Yeah. But dude, it was cool. And I wrote that, and it was literally just my acoustic vocal work tape that I took in there, you know, and played it for all the session guys, and they turned it into what it is. And it's so like, cool. Damn, it's so cool to see it transform from that last night, you know, to this today, and hear them do it. And then Zach put all his, you know, fire on it. And it was just cool. It's cool to see a song like be born like that quick.
So wild, yeah.
Especially when you just wrote the night before, like a solo write.
Yeah, I was like, I hope it's good.
It's so funny because, like, I think one of the hardest things, at least this is something a lot of artists say, I'm not an artist, but it's like the hurry up and wait. You know, it's like you want to get this music out to the people and you want to get it recorded, but it's like you got to go through distribution and all this channels, yeah. And all this lane. But then it's like sometimes you write a song and then you just cut it the next day and you, yeah. Just hear it fully produced.
Dude, when it's that quick, I, yeah. Mean, it's a beautiful thing for sure. And I was proud of that one. I thought it was cool because I hadn't written a 100%er like solo in forever. So the fact that I got one on there and it's the title track and it's the last song, it just made it like a cool. And the day before we were cutting, you know, I wrote it. It's just a cool story.
That's sick.
Made Congrats on the Dylan, sure. Schneider cut.
Hey, thanks, bro. I've been dreaming of one. Yeah.
No, that's it's super cool. And what, like, so 16 songs, I mean, so you've done a lot of EPs.
Yeah.
Was there any intention with that, or was it just like, hey, we had this great body of work and we wanted to make sure everything got on there?
I originally, it was going to be like 18. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of things, a couple of collabs we wanted to do, didn't really work out. And like I said, now we got stuff on the back burner, which is great. I like to have things ready to go, you know, already too.
Mm-hmm.
But now it was like kind of the time, and had all these songs that I've been writing over the course of like 2-3 years. We were like, yo, end of this year. We talked about it a little bit early on, and then middle of the summer, we were like, all right, we're actually just going to do the record. So it needs to be done in like September, and I needed a few more songs. But yeah, I was striving to go anywhere from 10 to like 20 and then like have the full project. So yeah. The fact, I think 16 is a great number.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's cool seeing people like have a slightly larger albums, because it used to be like your first album was 11 songs or
yeah
you know, sometimes 10, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see that. And sometimes you play it where it's like, hey, here's the album, here's the extra, you know, to
yeah.
Do it like that. But I enjoy getting that all at once, because it, to me, it's like it gives you a time in your life of like, right now this is the debut project, but people have heard your music, you know, have a lot of fans already, right?
Yep.
But it's like, here's a statement of where you're at right now.
Definitely.
And sonically, the album all fits together too, hey, which I
thanks,
think is cool.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things I was like most happy about, is like nothing really sticks out. Nothing feels weird. And it just, it's very cohesive, like I said, you know. So I was happy. And like I said, working with Zach made that very easy, because he just kind of understood the picture.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, so what else has been going on, man? I see you got the duck on the hat. Are you big in the duck hunting? What's going on?
Dude,
in the?
I just started duck hunting last year, and I love it. We do goose hunting up there, too, in Indiana, too, with my buddy. So I'm excited that season finally is, like, coming back around. I think it just started up there in Indiana. So I got to get up there, but I'm so damn busy right now. I got no free time. Mm-hmm.
Your two tours.
And yeah. I'm going to find some time once we get back from the West Coast and just go up there and get my gun ready. I got a nice Benelli last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
treat yourself.
Yeah, dude. I was like, man, this gun will last me forever. And if I want to go in, it was funny. The first time, like first couple times we went out, my buddy has like two or three of the Super Black Eagle threes. And I used one of them that day, and I was like, man, this is a nice gun. I texted him. I was like, yo, which one is that? And he tells me, I look it up. I'm like, damn. Okay.
No wonder it was so nice.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, I went and looked at him and got a cool one with like the Realtree camo on it and stuff. It's sick. I like it a lot. But
yeah. Speaking of Indiana hunting, do you know Dustin Huff?
Dustin Huff.
He was a rider in town, and he still writes, but he lives back home in Indiana.
Yeah.
And he shot the largest, like, whitetail deer, like, normal.
With a bow.
Yeah, with a crossbow.
Yeah, he shot
the largest bow, like, in North America, like, ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was it in Indiana?
Yeah.
He shot it? Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot, like, up in, like, Indiana, Illinois area. I know a lot of the guys around here go up to Illinois.
It's wild. We got to talk to him about it. It's, like, it, like, changed his life, dude. It's
yeah.
Like, now he, like, tours doing, like, hunting stuff. And he's, like, that's, like.
Oh, that's sick.
It was, like.
The name sounds super familiar. I don't know. Maybe I know him, but
yeah,
it sounds familiar.
Yeah, he like posted a photo of it, and like Combs saw the photo and like called him. Was like, take that photo down. I'm gonna hook you up with the guys from Meteor. They're gonna get you like a lawyer and tell you exactly what to do. And it's like you gotta like hide the body and like all this thing. It's like because people will come get it because it's worth like six figures.
Yeah,
dang.
Yeah, dude. It was like a whole thing. Yeah.
At least Combs was looking out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, figured it out. They got him hooked up because he knows all those folks. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's now getting booked to talk about the buck and then also playing songs. You know,
that's
it's
wild.
Like, that. It's nuts.
Yeah, dude. That's big,
it's crazy,
deal, man.
Hunting is a big business, too, man. I mean, you know, just from we have buddies that are, you know, artists that literally do guided hunts. That's their work, you know, down in Alabama.
It's super cool.
Colby was a fisherman doing like that.
Yeah, fly fishing.
Yeah. What do you call it? Guide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot about it, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I've never really been hunting. Like, I remember my dad was going to take me, and I just had ADHD so bad when I was young.
That was a thing. Like, people always ask me, they're like, oh, you ever deer hunt? And like, I have never went deer hunting. But I'm like, dude, just to be honest with you, bro, like, I didn't grow up in a family where, like, my dad ever went hunting. He was a fisherman. I fish a lot, you know. Bass fishing and everything. I grew up doing that like crazy, but we just never went hunting. And my grandpa didn't hunt. He's a farmer, got a lot of farmland, lets people hunt out there. But and then me and my friends weren't running around doing it. I had a couple buddies that, you know, they go out with their dad and stuff, but I never did. So now that I'm finally doing the bird hunting and stuff, I got really into it real quick, and it's a fun little hobby to have.
Yeah, it's like my buddies, I was supposed to go down last year over Thanksgiving and hunt buck, and I didn't. And they were like, why don't you come down and do this? And I was like, all right, I probably will. Now that I have a car that will actually make it to Alabama.
There you go.
It's hard, too, because it's like, it's time consuming. So you have to be like very intentional with like, and it, when you're so busy, you know, even we're busy, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just hard to do.
I got a buddy that's in a stand like every day, like from 5 a.m, you know, come back home, take a nap. Go back out at night. Like, it's
crazy.
I'm like, dude, you do this every day. And I'm like, how do you even have the time, the free time like that? But he gets some good stuff. So
just like
worth it.
Doing like work emails.
Very
quietly.
From the blind.
Writing a song up in there.
Yeah.
Trying to play the guitar as quietly as possible.
Humming your melody.
Put your headphones in.
Yeah.
Writing the melody in your head.
Yeah. So what else do you do other than duck hunting? Like, other than when you're on the road, like, what other hobbies are you into?
Oh, I play a lot of video games.
Oh, yeah. All right, now we're talking.
What do you play?
Warzone.
Okay.
For sure. Yep. Play a little Fortnite sometimes. I've been getting back into it because they got the original map on there right now, and they do like a
Reload.
Yeah, the Reload is fun, dude. Yeah. Like Resurgence. Like, I play a Resurgence on Warzone, And then I've been playing the show as well.
The MLB the show?
Yep, I love that. And then the new college football game is pretty fun.
I got that.
I haven't deep dove into it, but it plays so smooth and it's like enjoyable. I play like a quick game, like 2 minute quarters every now and then, and I really like that. So I haven't got to game a whole lot lately, just being so busy too. But that's what I'm gonna be doing tonight when I get home for sure.
Does your do you guys get to do it on the road? Like, do you have a setup or?
Yeah, we got we can play like pretty much offline games while you're traveling, mm-hmm. you know. And we're gonna be on the bus for this tour coming up, which is awesome.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, bro.
Huge congrats.
I'm excited about that, dude. I've never been on one for a full tour or anything. We've taken one out a couple times, and then, like I said, when I was on the Tree Vibes bus, that was just a luxury, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're definitely gonna bring the gaming console out and know, play some football, play some MLB. I know a lot of my guys like NHL too, so that'll be nice to pass some time on the road, you know, for sure.
Yeah, stay out of trouble, you know.
Yeah, I like to bring it. I like to bring it too. If they got, you know, good Wi-Fi in the hotel, then you can play a little bit sometimes if you're up in a hotel for a couple of days.
Some guys have like our bus has like Starlink on it.
Yeah.
So
you can do everything.
Yeah, I can never get it to work though. It's like I try to log into Netflix and it's like I need a VPN or something. It's like I don't know how it works, but some buses like can where they can just roll down the highway and just like stream games.
Dude,
which is
that's
like
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah. I know. If I could do that, I mean my life would be made pretty much at that point.
It's probably better that you can't just for productivity.
Yeah. I know, 100%, man. Like when I go home sometimes, I'll only be home for a few days. I won't bring my console because I'm like, I'll just sit there and play it all day. I want to like go out,
sound
see
familiar.
My family, you know, do something.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a PlayStation so that I wouldn't go to the bar as much.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
I was like, this $500 investment will save me that in a couple bar tabs.
For sure.
Yeah, easily,
it's,
dude.
It's definitely the same way.
It's good to have like a good like hobby, you know, something else to do than that. But then I end up drinking beer while I'm video gaming anyway. And I'm like, I haven't really quit the drinking as much, but going out and saving money definitely helps.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
It is cool though. I have gotten closer with some of my buddies that I play with. So I play Fortnite too.
Definitely.
And I'd never played Fortnite until like 6 months ago.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I'm not good.
Yeah. I always thought it was like this like kids game that is like, and then like, so now I haven't played it recently, but like I'm playing with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking fun, man.
Dude, it's super fun.
It's Call of Duty just with fun stuff.
Yeah, cartoons and fun stuff. And dude, literally, like you just said though, it is like me. I've made friends like a dude that lives in Canada. I met him in person for the first time at Kane's show up in Toronto, and like we've been playing with him. We just met randomly in a game. Been playing with him ever since, and you know. Even friends I don't get to see that live like, you know, a few states away, we play a lot, and it just keeps everybody connected, which is cool. It's good for the boys.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's like networking too.
It is.
100%. Yeah.
Like I became kind of buddies with like Dalton Dover.
Yeah.
Through him being, you know, Alex Maxwell is one of my buddies. That's a songwriter.
Yeah. I love Alex.
Yeah. So like through Alex, Dalton played with us and, you know, like Colin Stiles played with us on there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of my like songwriter buddies.
I know. You're surprised like how many people like actually game.
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane. And it's funny because he came on the podcast and then we exchanged numbers, not even realizing that we were already in a group chat together, a Fortnite group chat.
That's funny. Yeah, we have a Warzone group chat, and everybody's in there every day. Oh, anybody on? Anybody trying to run something real quick?
I like playing by myself, but I'll play for like 25 minutes, 35 minutes by myself. If someone's on and I'm just, it's like BSing with your buddy on the phone.
Literally.
Just on a game.
Literally. You know? It's like a phone call, and you can just have some fun in the meantime. But no, I feel you. Playing solo, I got into it a lot on Call of Duty, and I think when I did that, it made me a lot better. But nowadays, I just get super bored.
Yeah.
And I miss some of the old maps and stuff, so I don't really play unless anybody's on. I feel that.
I feel like Call of Duty is like, I just like spawn and then die, and then I just do that over and over again.
Yeah, it's because you're bad.
I need to get good, I guess.
Get
you
good.
You just got to practice.
I got to tell my, do you know who Ninja is, like the Fortnite guy?
Yeah.
I got to tell the story because I always think it's kind of cool. We were playing this like Super Bowl pre-party a couple years ago, and we played the show, and it was really fun. And then we're having this like, we're all in Combs's green room and just having some drinks and chilling. And there's all these like huge football guys in there, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like super famous people. And there was like this one dude just like sitting in a chair with like blue hair. And I was like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? And we talked for like 30 minutes. And I was like, so how do you know Luke? He's like, I don't. I'm like, well, how are you in his green room right now? And he's like, oh, I'm friends with Tim. And so Tim's like a Call of Duty streamer.
Tim the Tatman.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And then so we started. He's like, so like, what do you do? And he was like, oh, you ever heard of Ninja? I was like, oh, yeah. This is before I started playing Fortnite. And then he's like, oh, that's me. And then so like we hung out. And he was like super nice. His wife, yeah. Jessica, super sweet. And he was like, man, is it cool if I get your number? I'm like, yes, dude.
Dude,
yes.
That's sick.
Yeah. And we talked about streaming. And he's like, if you're in the top like 3% of anything that you enjoy doing, if it's like knitting or Fortnite or whatever, mm-hmm. you can like make money streaming it and have fun.
100%.
And like that dude is crushing it. And I'm like, but you know, it's got to be harder than it seems, right?
Definitely.
Right?
I mean, he's got to put in the time.
And he's like, not really, man. I just kind of play video games I like all the time. I'm like, fuck you, bro.
It's definitely harder than that, yeah. I would say, because you want to build a brand. You want to have like an idea of like content you're putting out.
For sure.
I mean, it's like his blue hair was his brand. Tim the Tap Man, he's got his whole thing built up. I actually know Tim, and I know Kloxy, because Kane plays with him a lot on Warzone.
Yeah.
So we were at Kane's birthday party last year, and it was here in Nashville, and they were here, and we got to just kick it. And I was talking to Kloxy forever, and like we followed each other on Instagram. And it's crazy because I've been watching those dudes stream for like the last 3-4 years. And then now I'm like, oh, Kane, like I'm hanging out with Kane. They're mutual friends. It's like, dude, I never would have thought I was like going to parties with these guys in a couple of years, but it's cool.
I know. Wow. You know what's weird is like, when Twitch came out, I'm like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was like, I don't know. Like, and then now I'm like, it's awesome. Like, you could watch someone who's incredible at something do whatever and explain what they're doing. And if you're into that, it's like so informative or just like, just fun to watch. Like, I love chess and I'm like not good at it, but you can go and watch like Hikaru or like Magnus, who are like some of the best players in the world, get on there and explain
and
their moves
learn
and
stuff.
Yeah, and it's
even
entertaining.
With COD, dude, like I feel like when I started watching them, you never like have the, I guess, POV of like watching somebody right while they're doing it from their screen. You know, you just see somebody run up and absolutely wreck you because they're a demon in the game. But to watch them do it, you can kind of pick up on how they play these situations. You know, how they move, what they're running their settings on and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's funny because, you know, when you die in Fortnite, you can watch your buddies play.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll do that and I'll just watch little things they do and pick it up.
But yeah.
When you're watching the guys, like there's this guy, Prosper Gaming, that does Fortnite, and he's zero build. That's what I play. I don't play build.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do all that.
Building is crazy these days, dude. I can't keep up.
Yeah, it's wild. But watching him, I'm like, oh, that's how he's moving so fast. And like he like tells you little tips.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like my feed gets music stuff or like social media stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
The whole thing right now is providing value, I think. You know?
Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is that like I watch zero like guitar streamers or zero like music stuff.
Yeah, I told you that you should.
Yeah, maybe I should get on there and do it. But like, unless it's like a friend of mine going like TikTok live or something, but like I don't go and watch like YouTube guitar stuff, but I do for like video games or for chess or whatever.
I feel that, dude. I used to do that a lot more too. Like just when I was starting out.
Yeah. If it's like, if you're learning a new instrument or something, I guess I do that if I'm like working on fiddle or something.
Yeah. I used to love watching people do like drum covers and stuff. I don't even play the drums. I just think it's crazy to watch somebody just shred. Yeah.
Dude, drums are so sick to watch.
I know, dude. It's so entertaining.
Yeah. I bet Mitchell plays on this tour.
He was playing the other day, and I was like, who is playing these damn drums right now? I was walking around, and I was trying to talk to somebody, and then I looked out.
You're
and
like,
just,
shut the fuck
it's
up.
Just, yeah, it's just Mitch just like hammering away. I was like, oh, hell yeah, okay. I'm going to come down here and watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got that emo kid in him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys, like Devin and like Andy Albert and all them, like just started out doing that stuff.
It's crazy.
Were you into that stuff growing up, or?
I was more into I mean, I liked everything. Nickelback was like the first reason I wanted to do music when I was young. First reason I got my first guitar when I was like probably 7. And then I put it down. I just didn't really have the patience. I was taking lessons and I was just like, man, like I'm over this. Like it's too slow. I'm tired of learning one note at a time. Like, so I went back and played baseball like that was my kind of passion, everything I wanted to do. I wanted to be an MLB player, you know, growing up. And finally got back into country music around that time. FGL and Sam Hunt, Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, they're all taking over, you know, the scene. And picked up, or I remember I was listening to a bunch of like I like The Weeknd, I like Drake, I like hip hop a lot. Travis Scott's one of my favorite artists. And then also just like pop music too, growing up, you know, anything that was on the radio, I was listening to that. So after I went to like middle school a couple years, met a bunch of new people, I started, you know, showing people my, you know, music taste, and then my new friends were showing me their taste, and that's when I got back into country. And I was like, oh man, like we're having all these parties, everybody's listening to FGL. I was like, the girls are singing it. I was like, man, I need to pick up the guitar again and learn how to play it. So that was when I did that, and started teaching myself on YouTube, you know, just at my own pace, and learning songs I wanted to learn, learning the chords, you know. And I was really, really a lot more motivated to do it that way. But no, I never really was like into the crazy, like heavy, like metal stuff or like the emo stuff or anything. But there was a couple songs that, you know, if they'd play it for me, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I used to listen to Avenged Sevenfold a lot with my buddy Gabe, who's a songwriter here in town. We grew up together, started writing, and he loved them. So I was listening to them quite a bit for a little while with him. And then who else? Killswitch Engage.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's even
so I did like it, but I was never playing it really growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love rock and roll music, but not the extremely heavy stuff.
Yeah, you know? I grew up like a lot of like, I liked Kiss early on. I liked AC/DC. I remember the live AC/DC album was like always in the truck when we go to baseball games and stuff. So that was something I was always jamming.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. Guns N' Roses, all that stuff. I like that stuff too. So it was just everything growing up, you know, always listening to everything.
All right, baseball. What would your walk-up song be right now?
Oh, shoot.
Dude, what a great question.
That is a great question. Right now, at this moment, probably... Oh, dude, it's so hard.
You're like, it's my new single.
I want it to be like...
Get that extra stream.
It'd probably be like... Stargazing by Travis Scott on the Astroworld album.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs. Or Burn It to the Ground, Nickelback.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I feel like a lot of their stuff is like so energetic, it makes you want to run through a wall, which is exactly what you want when you're walking up to the plate.
100%, dude. Yeah. Like, that's something we used to always think of, like, what would your WWE walkout song be?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have something to get you amped up, for sure.
Have you heard of our butt rock nights that we do?
Mm-mm.
So, we have an account that our buddy Brian Frazier really, like, runs for us called Butt Rock Night.
Yeah.
But it started as we were going to Key West Songwriters Festival. We were like, we should just do a night of the stuff that they call butt rock, which is Nickelback, Creed, Hinder.
Oh, Singer. Hell yeah.
So, we do full band... Learns all the songs. Each artist sings one or two songs, almost like karaoke style.
Yeah.
But it's all artists, so they know how to do it with the band, you know? And we've done three of them now. We're about to probably do a fourth here soon.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, dude, they're so much fun. And it's like Jordan Rager plays.
Yeah.
Like,
he's the king of it, dude.
He loves it. He's like, bro, this is like the most fun I've had in town in so long. You know?
He always sings Lips of an Angel.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's just silly and fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we do that. And then from that, Brian started memeing like Fred Durst, Nickelback, like, you know, Scott Stapp, like Creed, everyone. And dude, the account's twice as big as the Raise Rowdy account now.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
Fred That's pretty reposted sick. It too.
Yeah, Fred's reposted. Uh-huh. Chad's interact with it. Scott Stapp has too. It's wild. Like all
that's
the G's.
So cool, man.
And we're like not really making fun of it. It's that's not the thing.
Yeah,
right.
That's just like the stigma of what everybody else does.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
We're it's a bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are, you know, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being eccentric on purpose.
Oh, 100%.
And that's the thing.
Yep.
But it's
they're
super
rock
cool.
stars, man.
Dude, they are. And that's what rock stars are.
Another good walk-up song.
Oh, yeah, Rockstar.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, for sure.
What would yours be, Nick?
Oh, God. I don't know. Why don't you go first?
Probably like Master Puppets. Yeah, you know, like Metallica.
Some classic Metallica.
Yeah.
Mine might be so. Rockstar by Post Malone, actually, too.
Yeah.
I used to play that before, like, when we did headlining shows a few years ago. We always turned that on, turned it up before we started the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Through the speakers out front. It got us all hyped up, and we're standing side stage.
Mine might be, like, Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was singing that song the other night when we were in Maine. I was walking through the venue. Yeah. Dude, yeah, takes me back to Guitar Hero 3, man.
Oh, yeah. I actually did that full band karaoke one time.
That's it.
They had that when I was back in Pittsburgh. I lived back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, dude, the hometown bar that I lived kind of in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And we could walk to two bars, and the one you wouldn't go in, and the other one we went in all the time.
Dude.
And they had full band karaoke there one night.
That's sick.
With a list of probably 100 songs.
Yeah.
Which is great, you know?
Yeah.
And I sang that. It was pretty epic.
That's awesome.
As a kid, it was like Pocket Full of Shells. I'm from Florida, so I'm thinking like the beach. I don't get this song, but it really makes me feel a certain way.
Dude, like, yeah, it gets you going, that's for sure.
Well, that's the same thing for me when I was young, listening to music like that, that's extremely political. I didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah.
I just know that they had so much emotion in their words, mm-hmm. you know.
100%.
Drove to feeling something. I didn't know what it was feeling exactly, but mm-hmm. I liked it, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. There's so many songs I look back on. I'm like, dude, I had no idea what that was even saying, and I was just jamming it when I was like 8 years old.
Like Third Eye Blind. Mm-hmm. Then I bumped again. Then I bumped again. You're like, whoa, what?
Dude, there's so many songs. Like 50 Cent was another album I listened to a lot, and I like listened back to it a couple years down the road, and I was like, whoa, I can't believe my dad was letting me just ride around listening to this in the car.
I had a Walkman, and I remember I had the Bone Thugs record as a kid, and it wasn't like the clean version, or, you know. And my dad's like, what are you listening to? I'm like, Bone Thugs, because I like that song. Talking about the crossroads only. And I, you know, it's like I just listen to that one song on repeat. And my dad's like, let me listen to this record, make sure it's okay. And he was like, yeah, you know.
Dang. That's funny.
I was like in, you know, sixth grade or something.
You know, the first CD I ever remember owning, and I was literally probably like 5 years old. This is no shame on my parents because they raised me very good. I'm a good kid, good person.
Yeah.
But they were really lenient with anything. But I remember the first one I ever bought and had was Jackpot by Chingy, with like Holiday Inn on it and like Right There and all that. And like, dude, I would jam that stuff.
So catchy, too.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of probably the beginning of my love for hip hop and everything too.
My first CD I ever had, my uncle mailed me the Spice Girls CD. He's like, there's this new band out. Check this out. And so I had that one.
But they took the Bone Thugs from you and gave you the Spice Girls.
Well, that was before Bone Thugs for me. Yeah. But the first one I ever bought was Tragic Kingdom, No Doubt, and Melancholy and Infinite Sadness.
Also great.
Which was $20. It was a double record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was like a shit ton of money.
That's older crazy. Than you, Kurt, and you're older than him, I assume.
Yes.
I bought Snow Informer.
Yeah.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers What Hits. Like, so I'm old.
But. And Mozart's first record.
Yeah, me and Mozart went to high school.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Dude, Mozart walkout song with baseball.
Dude.
That would be kind of hilarious, though.
Just some Beethoven up there, man.
Yeah. I might do a Big X the Plug song too. Have you listened to him extensively?
Dude, Texas. I love the song Texas. I haven't dove deep into his stuff, but every time his songs come on, it goes hard, man.
It's like, I'm not super into that much modern rap.
Yeah.
But Matt Brill, my business partner, turned me on to Big X, and I was like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah, 100%.
And it sounds like the best parts of Rick Ross and like Big Pun kind of put them together.
Yeah.
And just
very that, big sounding.
Yeah. It is, man. It gets you. It's club, dude. It's club bangers, man. And gets you hyped up.
He's coming to town. I'm going to see him.
He came to our show in Houston.
That's so sick.
Yeah, and hung out. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
Life is weird.
Yeah. It's cool. It's great.
Super cool.
It's cool right now, dude. You never know who you're going to run into, who's hanging out with who, liking whose stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun. Just the, I guess the, you know, not knowing and then finding things out like that. It's just so cool.
World's getting smaller, man, feels like sometimes.
It is, bro, because everything's so connected, I feel like, nowadays.
Nashville specifically now, with as big as the genre is and as much crossover as there is and as many collaborations.
Dude, so many people here.
Yeah.
Like, even like Post is just around MGK. All the time. Yeah, MGK's here.
You know?
It's so crazy.
So I saw him at a Grammy party.
Who?
Posty or MGK?
No, MGK.
Oh, really?
I was just like, after we played the Great in February, I'm like, whoa. It was like
I
this
saw
little
him at Stagecoach, and me and my buddy were talking to him on side stage, and I was like, the hell, dude? And Megan Fox was there too. And I remember I was having a conversation with some of the guys that work with Marshmello, and then I look over the gate, and Kendall Jenner standing right next to me. And I
billionaire.
Was like, what the hell? Yeah. Yeah, dude, everybody's here right now.
So crazy.
Yeah, it was cool.
Have you got to catch any shows out, like, when you're not on the road doing your own?
Oh, man. Not really, besides, I guess, just being at the festivals this summer with people. I got to go to Stagecoach every day for the four days, so that was great.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I didn't play till Sunday, so I kind of just got to hang out.
I'd be wore out by the time
dude,
I
was, thing. Bro. And like we released my EP that week, so we were doing hella promo every day, a lot of interviews and stuff, you know. So I was trying to like get too turned up with the, you know, everybody once I was done, and we'd go out for the night and watch everybody. We got to see a lot of cool people, man. I remember we were watching Morgan's set, and it was that first night they did. I had some help because Post came back out with him.
Yeah.
Everybody was going crazy, and we were standing there. Dude, the whole night we hung out with Emma Roberts, the actress.
So cool.
Her and her boyfriend were like back over at my trailer, like hanging out. And I was like, this is weird. I saw her in like Scream 4 when I was like 11 years old.
And then, of course, Flavor Town's all over the place, that guy. He came and hung out when we played there. Mm-hmm. It was like Luke, Kojo, and Guy Fieri and Cleto are all sitting at a table drinking.
It's so sick, dude.
The most random nonsense. It
dream like blunt rotation.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It feels like, dude, the Twilight Zone sometimes. But,
yeah, for
it's
sure.
Cool.
I feel like that, man, because I just moved to Nashville in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had a whole regular life of adulthood before that.
Yeah.
You know? So I moved here and just randomness happens all the time, which is so crazy.
Keep you on your toes, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the other thing about Nashville, too, is you literally never know who you're around. And even if they're not someone now, you don't know if they might be someone
in like
6 months.
A year. Yeah, yeah, 6 months, a year.
It's crazy.
You never know, dude. Yeah. So it's always good to be cool with everybody, for sure.
Yeah. Got to be homies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked lightly about your single Carhartt. Why don't we dig a little bit deeper into that too?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that one's just like super fun, and like I had the idea for so long. I wrote it with Gabe Faust. Mm-hmm. Like I said, me and him, like he moved down here and started living with me, and then we've been writing since we were 15 years old back home, you know. So when we have ideas, we bounce them off each other, talk about them, and that one in particular, like we had talked about for like a few months, and it's usually late at night. One of the two of us is probably having some drinks and super like, hey, bro, we should write. I'm in the mood tonight, you know, and then hopefully the other one's down. And we were that night. So we sat down. It was like 10 o'clock probably and started talking through the idea again. And we originally were going to write it like almost more of like a life, like love song, because it was going to be more like, you know, if this girl never had stole your Carhartt, she wouldn't have stole your heart, you know, from like the beginning of like the first night you met her, and then leads you to like having kids, leads you to like, you know, having a house, the whole like, and all because of she stole your Carhartt type thing. And then we're like, wait, like maybe, I don't know, let's just have some fun with it and do it more of like a, you know, commercial, like radio approach, like more
lighthearted.
Yeah, more lighthearted, more open. That, you know, like we said, people that maybe even don't like country, maybe they put it on and they think it's cool, you know. And we took that route and kept it kind of the same thing, but it's about a girl that just, you know, kind of dipped on you and stole your Carhartt. And I feel like everybody, all guys especially, and then every girl has probably been the girl that takes someone's favorite shirt and you never get it back and you're like, oh man. So it was just such a relatable thing too.
Oh yeah, I still remember all the hoodies that I got stolen over the years. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and some of them still sting, man. Yeah. To this day, I'm like, that was a sick hoodie. Yeah.
And Carhartt's like not like Walmart cheap anymore.
No,
not
no,
even close.
They're expensive, man.
They're good balling, dude. Stuff. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's just such like a pop culture like thing now. I feel like everybody who's anybody wears it. You know,
it's nuts.
People be like, dude, you ain't no blue collar worker. Why you got that Carhartt on?
When I was see a those kid, memes. It was Dickies.
Yeah.
Especially in Florida.
Dickies is swag now, too, though.
Yeah.
I got two new jackets, like, over the last year, and I love them. Can't wait to break them out. I'm glad the weather's finally changing.
I know.
When the weather starts to change, you're fall. Like, I can already see all the outfits I'm going to be rocking outside.
Yeah, my closet that is all my coats, and I have so many, is just sitting there waiting for me, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And football's on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's the best. Like, I love Halloween, too. I just like fall in general. I was my birthday's in like a week, so I'm an October baby, and it just feels like my time of the year. But of course, it only lasts like 4 weeks where it's actually enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Then it just goes ice cold.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to drop a video, and I've talked about this for a long time. We do like short form video kind of here too, talking about how when someone can dress as you for Halloween, it like means it's working.
Oh yeah, for sure, dude.
It's cool.
Definitely, man. It's all about creating an identity too, and something that sticks out. So it's pretty cool if you're that big of a deal and you can look at somebody and know exactly who they're trying to be too. That's awesome. You know,
super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I wonder if it's like, is it the person that makes the look, you know, or obviously the music has to be there, but it's like, you know, it's like Luke wears those shirts.
PFG.
But then like Lainey, she's like, has her own, like, I don't even, fashion sense, or I don't even know what you'd call
it. Bell-bottom country.
Yeah, for
sure. She branded it and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's, I don't know, man. Yeah, the music's got to be there for sure, but that's also just the good thing of, like, the association that people have with, you know, what you wear, what you look like, your style, everything. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's all of your, part of your brand, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that before I really got to town, I didn't even think about that much, you know? But once you're here, you see it. And you'll see it change,
too. Yeah, I think that takes time for everybody, too. Mm-hmm. I know I was listening to Ella talk about it on podcast the other day, and she was, like, so true about it. She's like, I've been trying to figure it out for myself, and I think I'm just now getting there. Mm. And I think once the music's in place, once it's all kind of rolling, you kind of start to get into that routine and that groove, and that's when you really figure it out, you know, for sure.
And Lainey's stuff's crazy because you go to a Lainey show, like, last year we were at Rome River Jam, and Lainey was headlining. Every girl under the age of 18 was dressed like Lainey.
I know, dude.
It was wild.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool, man.
It's so crazy to see that happen. All these girls and their mamas all walking in bell bottoms, all with the
it was like
hats on.
It was like
stuff.
Morgan with the mullet, and then he always had the cutoff flannels.
Yeah.
And then you'd like, be like, dang, dude, the whole strip of Broadway looks like a bunch of Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen's walking around.
Yeah, dude, 100%. Yeah,
PFG's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I always knew Morgan was going to really, really work. I never would have dreamed this big, but it was like when we were opening, or when he's opening for us on tour, then it was like the flannel. You know, it wasn't just the PFGs. There's a couple of guys in flannels with fake mullets on and cut-off shirts. I'm like, oh, Morgan's about to just
blow it's working.
Blow up like crazy.
It's crazy how that works. But I love Halloween too. I'm hoping we went to a Halloween show that Caitlin Butts put on. It was very, very fun.
Yeah,
is she doing that again?
I don't think so.
Oh man,
I think she kind of took a bath on it last time.
Yeah, that happens.
Don't quote me on that. Hi, Caitlin, love you. Not that you're gonna listen to this podcast.
Money's hard in Nashville. Yeah,
hard to sell tickets. Yeah,
yeah. But man, it was so much fun. It was just like all the artists were dressed up as something, and then they would sing a song that was kind of like related to what they were dressed up as.
Yeah,
like, it was Goth Brooks.
So much fun. Yeah.
Oh heck yeah!
Watermelon Crawl. It was like dressed up as like a big
That was
spider with like a watermelon.
Kane's birthday is in October too, and he had a Halloween costume party last year for his birthday party when Tim the Tapman was Shrek. It was hilarious.
Oh yeah. Happy early birthday, by the way.
Oh thanks, bro. And then Cloaks, he was dressed up as a big twisted tea can. That's so funny. We were just talking about twisted tea earlier. Dude.
Yeah, we had a buddy that like posted a video with twisted teas in it, and I was like, bro, let's get you some.
I know the surf side, man. I'm gonna try one.
Yeah, I got a 4-pack for you. Don't
100%.
Worry.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, they're good.
You've been hyping it up, dude. So I can't wait.
I speak the truth, man. Yep. I was like not drinking for a minute, and then I was like, all right, I'll drink these.
Yeah, for sure.
they're good. Sometimes we're in here and it's like 10 a.m. and I'm like, they have caffeine in them. I could use it.
Yeah, right?
Lemon's a vegetable, I think.
Yeah.
Lemonade,
Super funny.
That's like the twisted teas are, they taste great, but it's like, it's just so sweet. Like,
dude,
these are less
so
sweet.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Like, they're a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And like, you can really put a couple down and still feel pretty good to go. So that's important, man.
Even more.
You got to be pacing, dude. You know, you got to, like, you got to, make sure you're not passing out of the concert or turning in too early on a boat day. So they sound
there
like they'll be the move.
I definitely used to like have like that craft beer phase.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, give me something light. Like, I'm old.
Definitely.
I'm not trying to be fucking hungover the next day.
I know. It makes me tired.
Yeah.
Big heavy
beer.
It
tastes good though.
We were down at Florabama and
oh boy,
yeah, it was slightly aggressive.
I was just down there a couple weeks
ago.
So fun, man.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. We did like a takeover last year, and we did another one this year. I think we're probably gonna just book that weekend and just make that like our thing that we do. It's so much fun, and that beach is so beautiful.
I know, dude. It's crazy. My sister was living down there for a couple of weeks. I guess it was a few, maybe a couple months this summer, and she was doing like the dolphin tours. My aunt and uncle lived down there, like literally 5 minutes from Floribama.
Sick.
And we stayed at the Phoenix resorts down there, and it was crazy, bro. It was like me. It was the first time we did a full family vacation since we went to Hawaii like a few years ago, probably when I was like 15, some damn near 10 years ago. But it was my grandparents, my mom, me, my two sisters, my brother, my aunt, her two kids, my aunt and uncle, my other aunt and uncle, their two kids, and one top floor unit up there on the 15th floor. And I was like, there's no way this is going to go good. Like, and it actually went great, dude. Oh, like, nobody fought. Everybody got along. And we were there for a whole week. And then the end of the week, me and Kane played the Wharf down there.
I love that venue. To come there.
Yeah, it's so sick, man. So it was a fun time. And we started off the week at Floribama. And we got it. We got it going right.
Yeah,
and then we ended it right over at the Wharf. It was sick. It was a great week.
Easy to get the motor running at the Bama for sure.
No, definitely. Dude, have you seen the tap room up there?
Oh yeah.
With the liquor,
it's crazy.
All the liquor in there runs through taps to each bar. I was like, that's insane. There's no bottles.
Mm-mm.
Literally, it's crazy.
It's so nuts and such a well-oiled machine there for as much chaos as
is
happening.
Like seven stages, right? Yeah. Seven bars or something throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and there's so much chaos and so much like artists canceling a gig last minute. You know, that's
how
it goes.
There's like
people.
A band rocking downstairs, and then you go up to the top floor. There's a writer's round going on. Yeah. It's like, dude, every room is like a different scene, I feel like, you know?
Well, and they even have, like, in that main room, which is like the writer's round style, they still have bottles because they were like, people want to see the bottles.
Oh, for sure.
So just in that room. Yeah. Everywhere else is all that machine.
That's crazy, man.
But they still kept that to keep, like, the vibe of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that dome stage, bro, that's one of the rowdiest rooms I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah. I've played there one time, like, back in the day when I played with Michael Ray, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
But we had, like, midnight bus call or something.
Oh gosh. So, probably for the best though.
Yeah.
You could stay there till 3 a.m. 4 a.m.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Then be at Waffle House till 4 or 5.
Like right across the street.
Yeah. We didn't make it to Waffle House this year, and I felt like that was a good thing for me, you know.
Dude, I know, I'll be putting it down, bro. Yeah. Wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's a different kind of hangover.
Save me.
Yeah. Like when you eat too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely sits on you heavy, man, that's for sure.
Chaos.
But Waffle House is typically the move, man, you know, because it's always open.
Heal yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I used to go there every time after the concerts up in Indianapolis when we were leaving. On the way back, about 30 minutes into the drive, stop off at Waffle House before you head back to Terre Haute.
Yep.
And that was just the routine, bro.
We did it when we went to the Georgia Theater, went and saw Flatland and Colby Acuff. And we're all sitting in there, and Nick was being a good boy. I was
not being a good
boy. I was drunk, and we're all hanging out, and Colby came in and with his band, we're all eating, and then like some fans came in, and they were like hammered and are singing the songs, and I'm like, where's there one, you know, like, okay, cool, thanks.
Yo,
it's fun though.
Appreciate that.
That Georgia Theater sounded good.
I like
that
spot.
Room is
that was
the
first
audio of it.
First show of the year for us this year was there with Nate, and it was cool. It's like the layout for like it not being massive, it's got a really cool layout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That roof deck's nice too. They got
super cool.
Yep.
And that's what sometimes rooms like that don't sound great. That room sounded great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I was like, okay, it's a theater, so it makes sense. But sometimes even theaters, you're just like, But what
I
a great
that.
Room.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
I had a great time there. It was definitely one I've been wanting to check off the bucket list, you know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
It's so cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go over some of these cool accolades that you've received recently before we kind of wrap it up?
Come on.
All right, so you got a Music Row artist to watch. Is that the correct thing? Congrats on that.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
What does that entail? It's just like they're like, hey, this guy's good, check him out, or like,
yeah, dude, get your name out there, bro. Gets people talking. It's great publicity, bro. Obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really cool. It was an honor, man. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Super cool.
You got one from Amazon as well.
Yeah. Yep.
It's funny because
everybody
like,
over there has been so great.
Right. At Amazon.
And so like supportive, yeah, and like having their backing is huge, you know, obviously.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's funny like that it's a, like, you know, exciting new artist or whatever, but it's like in my mind you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
We're in the game though.
That's the thing.
I know. But you're also you're still so young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, and with the debut album it just goes to show that things are going right and on the right path, mm-hmm. you know, and everything's coming together, I feel like,
yes.
to get that recognition.
I think that's it too.
Yeah, it's like very, very satisfying and shows that, you know, you're on the right track.
Yeah. That's one of the things we talk about too, is just little moments like that kind of reinvigorate you and just make you push even harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely. Great. Definitely, bro. And just having the approval of everybody around the industry makes you, you know, makes you want to work that much harder and get that much better and just, you know, keep proving yourself to everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one more, just since I'm listing them off, I think I memorized these right. Pandora also gave you a shout out mm-hmm. with the same kind of accolade award thing. That's must be doing something right. You know?
I know, dude. Exactly. There's been so much good stuff, even with this new album coming up, that, you know, there's so much great support from everybody across the whole industry. And it wouldn't be as big of a deal to me, and I don't feel like as many people would be hearing it if it wasn't for everybody all around,
team.
You know? Yeah, dude, yeah. For sure.
That's the best, man. Having a great team. Like, I worked over at Big Loud for like a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing the power of so many people believing in what you're doing and pushing forward with you is so powerful.
Yeah, dude. It takes the, you know, the village, man, for mm-hmm. sure, to make everything come to fruition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, thanks so much for hopping out here,
of course,
out here
dude.
In Old Hickory and hanging with us. We appreciate it, bro.
I had a great time. It was good to see you guys.
You
and
too.
I mean, if I ever need to come back on, if you guys are bored or
need
another guest, I'm down to come back and hang.
Or let's play some Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do that too. I'm so down.
My handle's pretty easy. It's Raise Rowdy. So.
That's easy enough. I won't forget that.
Yeah. One day we'll get a streaming setup in here and we can just hop on and just play a couple games.
We're talking
about
that.
That'd be sick, dude.
I was like, I kind of want to start Twitch streaming, but like, imagine that we were doing a video game while we interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not Fortnite, but maybe like, what about old school
streaming
Mario
while
Kart?
We're doing it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be sick.
And it's like, all right, question, while you're like, we're trying to wreck you or something. Yeah. You know?
I would just like... My language would be so foul. Like, we wouldn't be able to clip anything. I'd be like, fucking.
You know, 100%. Yeah. Those games, the kids' games, Nintendo stuff, get you going the most, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
When it breaks out in the family, dude, you know,
oh, yeah.
You turn the Wii on, it's like, oh, this shit's about to go down.
It's like video game Monopoly, kind of thing where you get mad at each
other. That's like Uno for my family, too. We play Uno, it gets heated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
I was watching a video about Uno and the one they had like a kid playing and he was just bawling his eyes out and they're like, you gotta get used to this, what we do.
Yeah, dude,
we're not gonna let you win, buddy.
Yeah. No mercy.
So great. But man, that's part of what makes families.
Yeah. Exactly.
That dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I miss my family now. Great.
I know. I'm gonna go cry.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Call my mom when I get out of here.
Yeah.
Always, dude.
I called my mom yesterday, she didn't answer. I was so mad.
Dang it.
She always yells at me for not calling on Mondays, and I did. And I was like,
my mom didn't text me the other night, and I was so surprised. She texts me every day. Mm. I was like, oh, something wrong. But then she hit me up in the morning, so it was all good.
We're going to call our moms on the drive home. You got a busy day ahead of you, probably, huh?
Yeah. We got a couple more things to do. I'll probably call her back on the way home.
Yeah, that's what I do.
100%. Drive home makes it fly by.
Mm.
Got like album signing thing we're doing, and then
sick.
I think one more. Like Zoom interview thing or something.
Birthday party coming up soon, maybe?
Yeah, dude, for sure. I think I'll be in L.A. I think we're going to go...
At the Troubadour.
The next day, Josh Ross is playing, I think. So we're all going to go hang out with them.
And maybe go to the Rainbow Room after.
I know. That's always fun. Over by the Roxy, dude. I went over there and kicked it. It's crazy. I was watching The Dirt the other day with Motley Crue and all those scenes in there with them. And it's like iconic. Chaos. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's wild, bro.
it's a legendary spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you donating your time and congrats on everything. And Happy early birthday.
Thanks so much, bro. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yes,
I'm Nick T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you on the front row.